and I could very clearly feel like someone had sat down on the bed next to me.
My one sister, Teresa, come literally floating down the stairs. She never touched those stairs coming down.
One night we went downstairs, we heard a bang like something had fallen. Several doors in the kitchen cabinets were open, like wide open.
But there's very distinct audio on one of the videos that says, open the door. It's a very nasty, demonic sounding voice.
So that is my ghost story.
Hi, and welcome to Haunted AF. This is the podcast of real people telling real ghost stories. You like that?
I do. I love it.
Do you know that's what you actually wrote on the website? And it's so much better than the garbage that I keep trying to say every week. I'm like, why didn't I just say what she wrote? It's so much better.
Oh, well.
Well, we're your hosts. I'm Julie Fisk.
I'm Rebecca Black.
And first of all, you need to go to hauntedaf.com. We have a great website.
Yes. So many good stories. And can we just say shout out to Julie, who's doing freaking everything right now?
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. You totally are. Like, you're posting all these amazing articles. And check it out. Hauntedaf.com.
I'm a freaking control freak. Yeah. So sorry
about
that.
I love that about you, though.
But the website, I noticed something because I have been listening to our podcast.
Yes.
Which I know is wildly masturbatory.
Like, oh, I do it too.
What's sad is when I'm laughing at us laughing.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, that's a special kind of narcissism to be doing that. But I've been listening and I'm noticing that we're saying a lot of like, oh, look at that. Look. What that means is that we're showing some video.
Right.
And we're using lots of video right now, courtesy On Air Media. Mm-hmm. They're awesome. Ziggy is helping us with that. So that means that you can go and see it. So go to hauntedaf.com. We will post it. If it's not there immediately, it will be up
within the week.
Very soon. Also, if you're not subscribed to the website, you're going to miss really cool last minute things that pop up. Like, we hosted a free screening of Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Yeah.
We got last minute passes.
So cool. So I feel legit now.
I know. I do too. I do too. So that's another reason to be on the website. Okay. Rebecca and I are real jobs. Mm-hmm. Rebecca does a morning show. I'm a film critic. So both of us have these opportunities where actors and directors and people will come to us wanting to be interviewed
because
they got something they want to promote.
Yeah.
So Rebecca and I both have been turning to these people saying, well, will you tell us a ghost story?
Please tell us ghost stories.
Right. I've got this podcast. Tell us ghost stories. Crickets. Nobody wants to do this. And then just recently, I was interviewing.
Yay!
His name is Eugenio Derbez.
And he's gorgeous.
He is adorable. You know him from Overboard, How to Be a Latin Lover, Instructions Not Included. And he stars in the new Dora the Explorer movie. It's Dora and the Lost City of Gold. So I got to interview him.
Yay!
And I totally just blindsided him with the ghost story question. Yeah, so let's play it. This is what happened.
This is a strange question. Do you have a ghost story that you could share with me? I have a ghost story podcast.
Oh my God, a ghost story. You know, I've always wanted to meet a ghost, always. But I have something, I can't see ghosts anywhere. I've been in abandoned houses. There was a castle near to my mom's house where everyone was watching ghosts. I went there and I didn't see anything. So somebody told me that I don't know what I have in my aura, but I can't get related to ghosts.
You're like the opposite of an empath.
Exactly. I don't know what is that, but I'm that.
I think you just jinxed yourself. Your hotel room's going to be haunted here.
Hopefully. I really want to meet a ghost or have an supernatural
encounter.
An encounter, yeah. I would love to.
Okay, so that's really anticlimactic.
No, but how cute is he? I could listen to him talk about not seeing a ghost all day.
He is the sweetest man in the world.
He's adorable.
And he told me, like, he used to interview actors, too. That's why he's such a great interview. But he interviewed Anthony Hopkins, and it was so bad he had to just cut off the interview.
Oh.
So anyhow, I know that was, like, an anti-ghost story. But now we can say we've had a celebrity on the Haunted AF podcast. So if you want to come on and plug your film or whatever, boom, we'll let you do that.
I enjoy his passion for wanting to see one, though.
And it's funny because it always seems like anytime we get a ghost story from people, they're like, oh, I see ghosts all the time.
Yeah.
People either see them and totally believe or they just don't.
Right.
And then there's the in-between people like you and me where we see a little bit, enough to believe, but then we're not seeing them all the time. We need to say thanks to all of the new listeners because this past week, it kind of blew up.
We did blow up big time. And it's all thanks to Danny from, what is she? The Queen of Halloween
on Facebook.
Queen of
Halloween. Yes.
And she sent us those EVPs that were so amazing. literally, people cannot get enough of the EVPs. Oh, yeah. I can't get enough of the EVP. I've watched that stupid video 20 times in a row.
Same here. I know. And people keep sharing it, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
But we got a whole bunch of new followers on Facebook, on Twitter, subscribers, all of that. So thank you.
And plus, Dani had some awesome stories to tell. And we're going to have her back closer to Halloween.
Yes.
So yeah. We can get the really spooky stuff.
Oh, God. She was really, really great. And it's funny that once she shared the podcast on her page,
yeah.
Boom, it just blew
instant.
Up. So we're getting really great feedback from them, including a note from Courtney from Facebook. So why don't you read this? I love the story.
All right. Courtney says, I love this podcast. I just started listening while doing housework, while I was making some cinnamon toast in the oven while I was listening. And I had the door open watching it toast because the broiler burns stuff super fast. Well, I'm watching super focused and the podcast is getting scary and the pan... toast was on and it popped and it scared me to death. I almost yanked the door off the oven. Then I immediately started laughing hysterically at myself.
Don't you? Because you know sometimes you'll put the pan
yes,
in the
it
oven.
It pops at my house all the time.
And it just pops and I just see her like, I could totally see that happening.
That is the cutest story ever. I love it.
And for the record, if you have a story like that, you can share it. It doesn't
always have to be ghosty.
Exactly. We need to give you an update on Rosie's chair, the haunted deck chair from the Queen Mary.
Yes.
Still not sold.
Nobody wants a haunted chair, Rosie.
Look at it. There
I know.
It is.
It's such a cute chair. It would look great in anyone's house.
And you could just barely see the little plaque on it. First class Queen Mary.
Yep.
We're going to officially start hitting up the Zach Bagans Haunted Museum this week.
Try to
week.
Get it in there.
Yeah. I think it's in, is it in Las Vegas?
Yeah, I think so.
Or New Orleans. It's in one of the places that you go to get really drunk. That's
either one of those places applies.
Right. Oh, and Rosie texted me this week because her smoke detector that kept going off. When we were interviewing her, it's still going off, even though she has taken it down and taken the batteries out of it.
Oh my gosh! So what if that really is her chair haunting the house?
Well, that's what Rosie thinks.
Because it scared us a couple of times,
it
and
did.
Then we'd laugh and then think anything of it. What if that's the ghost?
So she takes it down, takes the batteries out, and it's still going. Hold up, though.
Oh my goodness!
I remember that happening at my own house when we took the smoke detector down because it was beeping, and we took the batteries out, and it kept beeping.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if that's just something that smoke detectors do.
I don't either.
Or if Rosie's just legitimately haunted by that
How
chair.
How does that woman sleep at night? It goes off every 15 seconds.
She doesn't sleep. She's texting me.
Oh,
she's sending me all these stories all the time, which I love. Bring it on. So yes, the chair is still available. Another thing, go to hauntedaf.com to see Lisa's pictures.
They're amazing.
They really are. I'm surprised we're not getting more feedback on these photos.
I know. So I get it. It looks like it's some sort of like lamp light, a shadow cast or whatever, but she said it was at dark. It was in the dark at night.
Look at that.
I know.
And the one on the left, the kind of
spidery
spider
thing.
One, that's the one where the grandma was saying that yellow jackets
were doing it
in her bedroom.
Then in the other one where there's the three figures, she was talking to three figures.
Right. She was talking to her aunt.
Yes.
And then the two kids that were always with her. She said she always brings these two kids with her. So go look at that and you can find the story because when you hear Lisa's description of it, it's really incredible.
This is BJ.
Hi, BJ. This is Julie and Rebecca from Haunted AF. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you, my media divas?
Oh, that's so sweet.
BJ is a Texas legend.
I love it.
The best actor ever.
Agreed.
Actually, seeing BJ on stage should be on everybody's bucket list. I saw BJ starring in The Nance. It was one of those moments where I'm like, that's my friend.
Yeah.
I know him.
I am so excited because I've been listening to all the podcasts. I'm like, I've got stories.
Yay!
But Julie, you know how much I love you. And Rebecca, I have to tell you, you are my total BS because I have to drive across the Metroplex every morning. So you're in the car with me every morning for at least an hour.
Thank you, BJ. That's so sweet.
I adore you both.
Oh, thank you so much. And that's the way to Rebecca's heart
man. Compliments. Aww.
Okay, so tell us your ghost stories, and I'm especially excited about the Kalita Humphreys theater story.
Well, it's no secret that theaters are some of the most haunted buildings, you know, in the world, mm-hmm. because I guess actors and, you know, producers and everybody are hams continue on long after they're dead. They want to come back to, you know, where they got their successes and such.
Mm-hmm. Where
and,
they were happiest.
The theater is steeped in lots of superstitions. We don't say the Scottish play backstage. I can't say it because I'm in a green room right now, but it rhymes with McLeth. And, you know, we can't...
Macbeth.
You can't say that or your theater will close.
Really?
Sorry.
You can say it outside of the theater, but you can't say it in the theater.
Well, we're not there, so
you can't
so we're
whistle backstage because something will drop on your head, because that's how they used to communicate backstage.
Really?
Yeah, all sorts of weird stuff. But
Who knew?
A lot of the theaters across the world are famously haunted. A lot of the Broadway theaters, the Palace Theater, which is right there in Times Square, actually is haunted, they say, by Judy Garland, because that's where she had one of her best successes. And one of the producers also appears in the balcony. A lot of times you'll see things in the balcony, you know, watching what happened. There's tons of theater stories, but as far as really having a personal experience, two theaters in the Metroplex here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. In Fort Worth, it's the Scott Theater, the William Edrington Scott Theater. One of their stagehands hung himself in the basement of the theater, which is where they keep all of the furniture and prop storage, and you do not go down there alone. It is freaky.
You sold me. I want to go.
I'm there.
Yeah,
like,
and
let's do this.
And I grew up there, and that was just legend. When you walked in the door, you knew about that. Personal experience, I've had several things happen to me, and everybody that's worked there has stories. But the Kalita Humphreys Theater is a very famous theater in Dallas on Turtle Creek. And the building is famous because it was designed by legendary architect Frank Lloyd Wright. A lot of people have heard about him. This building was built by the city of Dallas in 1959, and he died 9 months before it was finished. He designed the building to be very environmental. You don't enter from the street. You walk around the back of the building and you enter kind of through the woods facing, you know, nature, and nothing in nature and nothing in the building is in a 90-degree angle. Everything is 30 and 60 degrees. So the building is very strange, very windy, lots of, you know, little hidden areas in the building. So it's kind of creepy anyway, but it's fascinating architecture-wise. It's his only designed freestanding theater, and he did not design it with a lot of electronics in the building. He wanted the scenery to be rolled up this ramp from the basement on one side of the stage, stage right, and then rolled down stage left down another ramp. Well, that's not really conducive to, you know, moving a show along.
Sure.
So after he died, before they opened the building, they got rid of some of the ramp, and they put in hydraulics so they could bring things up from the basement to up to the stage. Well, apparently he is pissed off about the changes they made in the building, because he does stuff all of the times during shows, during rehearsals, if you're in the theater alone, even when there are people in the theater, things happen. And we all know that it's Frank. I mean, it is Frank Lloyd Wright checking on his building.
Oh, that's
the things
crazy
that have happened specifically, a lot of times stage right, which is where the ramp was taken down. Let's say you finish a rehearsal, you know, we do late hours. So you'll finish a rehearsal late hours, and then when they come in the morning to open up the next day for business, all of the props will be knocked off the prop table. things, your glasses are shattered. Things are moved around backstage, and it tends to be stage right. That's the whole ramp thing.
Yeah.
And elevator. My personal experience was one night late at a rehearsal. It was probably about 9:30 at night. There is a bathroom off stage right near the dressing room. So this story's going to have a little toilet humor in it. literally,
we like that.
Yeah, we're not above that.
But in the restroom off right, there is a urinal, there is a stall, and there is a single shower. So during a break in rehearsal, I go in there, and I'm at the urinal doing my business, and somebody in the stall clears their throat and starts stamping on the floor and clearing their throat. And, you know, guys are nasty in the bathroom anyway. So I'm like, okay, and somebody's in here letting me know they're in here in case they're, you know, making noises or whatever. So I finish my business, and this person keeps clearing their throat, and it's kind of a, you know.
It's like an old man throat.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, well, you know, okay, you're constipated, what's the matter? So I'm washing my hands, and as we do, you know, you look under the stall to see people's shoes. You can use your toe. And I don't.
Rebecca does that all the time. That's totally
everybody
Rebecca's thing.
But I don't see any shoes. So I finish washing my hands. The man clears his throat and stomps on the ground again. So I walk around the stall, and I look in the shower first, and there's nothing.
Oh,
and then,
gosh,
very much like Don Knotts and the Ghost and Mr. Chicken, you know, I'm doing my karate chop, and I kick the stall door open, and nobody is in there.
Frank Lloyd Wright was watching you pee.
And so I go tearing out onto the stage like, you know, a big old girl screaming, and says, Frank's in the bathroom with me. And we go back in there, and we're standing. The people come back in there. We go in there. We're standing there, and the sink faucet comes on.
No! Oh, my God.
So
he loves
turn
you.
It off and go off. So Flash forward a couple of weeks later. We're in the middle of like a dress rehearsal, and the stage has some benches and some lights on it for kind of a baseball scenario,
okay.
Locker room.
Uh-huh.
And in the middle of the scene, the lights start flickering in the lockers, and a stool goes flying across the stage like somebody threw it, and we all just stood there, and over the loudspeaker, they say, hold, please, and everybody goes up on the stage. The light exploded. The stool went across the stage without anybody touching it. So Frank did not like the show. He was pissed off, and he was making his presence known.
Okay, we are going to have a seance at the Cleta Humphreys Theater.
We got it.
Let's do it.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
That was awesome. Thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you so much for letting me be a part of it. I can't wait to hear your other stories.
Hello.
Oh, yay.
Kate?
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you? This is Rebecca and Julie.
I'm doing well.
Okay, so you actually reached out to us, and we're going to do a little cross-promotion, talk about your podcast, which is Ignorance Was Bliss. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. I'm a former crisis clinician and forensic psychologist. And
ooh, awesome. What a killer job you've got.
Oh, yeah, I'm on disability now. I broke my back.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no, I don't recommend it. It's not as sexy as I make it sound.
Oh, so, that's disappointing.
Yeah, right.
I'd been on disability, and so I started a podcast about a year and a half ago. So I'm all over the map. Like, I started off as sort of true crime, and over time, I've drifted into sort of general psychology, and because I feel like if you can understand somebody who just has depression or anxiety, then you can understand a serial killer.
I'm hooked.
I know. I hate to admit out loud that I haven't listened to your podcast yet, but I'm going to now. And it's called Ignorance Was Bliss?
Yeah.
Where can we find it?
It's the IWB podcast on all of the social medias and things.
So you have a ghost story for us?
So here's the thing. I don't actually really believe in ghosts, except I've had a whole bunch of experiences. So it's this really weird.
So what do you think it is? What are you experiencing?
Like the most recent. My father, he lived with us, and he died by suicide in April.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And
my goodness.
He was in Las Vegas at the time. I'm next of kin, and so I had to go and do a lot of legal stuff and whatever.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'll tell you, you know, Vegas is not a good place to go if you're grieving. Like, it's really messed up.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, I know.
I was out there for like 4 days. And so I'm sitting on the couch in the dining room, and my husband was standing in the kitchen, and I'm telling him about the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said to my husband, like, my father's been broken, I think, most of my life, but something about that divorce shattered him.
Mm-hmm.
As I said it, a photograph fell off that bookshelf and landed face down. And I thought, that's creepy. Okay, it's just coincidence, right? Mm-hmm. Since then, we've had probably 6 or 8 glasses break.
Really?
And just very oddly, like they'll fall off a counter when nobody's around, or they'll come out of the dishwasher broken.
Really?
When they weren't broken, we put it in. You know, that kind of thing, like very odd. And while I have just children everywhere here, we don't break glass that often. So that was strange. We've also had a number of experiences, including I've had it myself, of a feeling of somebody's hand on your shoulder or like touching your hair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like somebody's walking by mm-hmm. too close. This includes my 6-year-old. Several times she has said, like, stop touching me, don't pull my hair.
Have you ever tried speaking out loud to your father or to whatever is in the house?
That's part of the issue, is that I don't really believe in ghosts.
Maybe just try it. See if it helps.
Yeah.
Kate, thank you so much for sharing that story.
It's pretty crazy.
All right, so got to plug the website once again, hauntedaf.com. You can find anything, everything that is Haunted AF right there, hauntedaf.com. And please send us your ghost stories. We always need ghost stories. You can send them through the website. You can send them through email. You can send them through Twitter, Facebook, all the things. We
yes.
have them all.
Right.
But the email is hauntedafpodcast@gmail.com.
There it is. And don't forget voice memos too. We love the voice memos because we love to hear your voice.
Please. Absolutely. You can write it out. Send us a voice memo. We will accept all. If your story's good enough, we might have you on the show.
Yeah. But you have a story to read.
I know. I'm coming. I'm coming to it. Like I said, we love listener submissions. And we've got a story here from Teresa Manley. She's from Kansas City, Missouri. And she says, in June of 2017, I went on a ghost investigation at Fort Osage in Sibley, Missouri. Am I saying that right? Osage?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, like Osage
County.
Like
that movie. That's like the movie, right? Okay. The tour felt more like a history tour than a ghost investigation, but I love history, so that was great too. Days after this tour, I noticed things of mine were suddenly not where I had placed them. Weird things like my hairbrush and my granddaughter's clothes drawer. And then one morning, I'm home alone and I notice a bottle of ketchup. perfectly placed in the middle of my kitchen floor. Well, that's weird.
Yeah.
just sitting as if someone had put it there. No one had been in there, and I had walked through several times. So I said, well, this is very funny. If you are someone or something I don't know, you cannot stay here. You must leave. If you are someone I know, I love you, but you got to go too. How cute is that? She's even sending away people she loves.
Yeah, just announcing.
She said she hasn't had anything since, but she didn't have anything happen before that either. So this is a one-time thing, weirdo ketchup bottle in the middle of the kitchen.
It's always the stories like that to me that are so simple.
Yes.
That you try to explain it away. It's like, well, maybe I had an Ambien night.
Like a sleepwalking situation, right?
Maybe
or something.
I was wanting to make tater tots at 4 o'clock in the morning and I forgot that I left the ketchup just sitting. But then, no, she'd already walked through there a couple of times.
I just love that immediately she's like, no, you're a ghost. Get out of my house. You can't stay here, even if you're my family.
Right.
She's kicking them to the curb, too.
She wrote and said that she watches a ton of paranormal TV shows. And so she had heard that if you think you're being haunted, just announce, like, hey, you're not welcome here, which we've heard that before.
We've said that before. Right. We're like, don't ever let anything come in your house. Right. Always say no. Don't let them, if they invite themselves in, go. Mm-mm.
But it sounds like it actually worked that time.
Yeah, that's great. Good for her. She didn't even need sage.
So now I'm so excited to finally get to talk about Kelsey. Now, this is a girl, I referenced her last week. Mm-hmm. She used to work at this hospital. She was an overnight nurse in a hospital that was built in the 1700s. She sent us audio, and she has been sending so much stuff ever since. So I wanted to, she has so much, we're going to have to dedicate a couple of podcasts to her.
Right, I was
going to
say, spread it out over the course of
exactly.
the season.
So let's start off. This is the audio that Kelsey sent to us.
So from 2011 to 2019, I worked at this long-term care facility in Portsmouth, New Hampshire as an LNA. In the late 1700s or early 1800s, the mansion part of this building was built. It first was a mansion for the mayor of Portsmouth or New Hampshire or whatever, and then it turned into the Mark Wentworth Home for Chronic Invalids. It's had a few names, but I used to work overnights, and one time I had to fill out a form for HR. Human Resources was on the fifth floor. And because it was in the middle of the night, I didn't want to go up there alone. So I had my coworker go with me. So I filled out what I had to fill out. We went up to the fifth floor and put the form in the box. And we're just kind of looking around a little bit. It's dark, but you know, there's a little bit of light because they have like the safety lights on. And we're just kind of looking around and we're like, oh, this isn't so bad. It's just office spaces. And my friend was like 3 feet away from me. And right behind us, we heard a whistle just like that. And we froze. And I can't remember which one it was, but one of us said, did you hear that? And we booked it out of there. It was horrible. That was the last time I was going to the fifth floor alone overnight. Ugh.
I love that.
Ugh. She says it was horrible, but I'm like, it really, he thought you were hot. Yeah. This is a ghost that thought you were catcalling you.
Over here.
Like, hey, cutie. Hey, sexy lady.
But what a, like, a non-threatening sound that would just scare the shit out of you.
I agree. There's definitely that vibe there of like, where did that come from?
And that's just like the tip of the iceberg. So, okay, here's the story that one of the stories I got from Kelsey. One nurse walked by a bookshelf repeatedly and noticed that the books would change directions, sometimes with the spine facing out the way the books are supposed to face. But then a few minutes later, she would go by and they would be inexplicably facing the other direction.
What the heck?
And then she would think, okay, I need to go back and fix that. She would go back and they would be turned around again.
Come on.
So another overnight nurse who doesn't believe in ghosts noticed that the thick binders with the residents' information would creep out from their spot on the shelves and eventually fall on the floor. Mm-hmm. So she made it a habit of gently just pushing them back into their spots every time she would walk in the office and notice they were slipping out. So one night, they were working with another nurse, okay? And she started getting frustrated because these things kept... So she goes by and aggressively just... shoves them all back in, turns to walk out, and one of the binders flies over and hits her in the back.
Hit her! Like, hit her!
It hit her!
Oh my gosh, that is crazy. She's got so many good stories. I got another one here. Yeah. She says there's multiple times when she would be in residence rooms in the middle of the night and they would ask who the children were that kept running in and out of their rooms.
No!
She said it freaked me out every single time that I was asked. So one night, I got a call from a resident who we had thought had an imaginary friend, a little girl. The resident called me, panicked because she thought she had rolled onto this little girl in her bed and could not roll off of her. Oh my God.
Squishing that girl ghost.
This took a turn. The resident made me roll her onto the side so that the little girl could get out. I left a few minutes later but could hear the resident saying, "Where did you go, little girl? You can come out now. She's leaving."
And y'all, she has so many of these little kid stories where the residents, and to be clear, these are residents. These are old people. A lot of them have dementia too,
yes,
which could account for some of this. But so many of them have these stories about the little kids,
oh my gosh,
coming into their rooms. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
So Kelsey has so many stories. She has photos. She no longer works at this place for chronic invalids.
Wouldn't you quit too after all of that? If you get hit in the head with a binder, like,
yeah,
I'm out.
I would be out of there. But she worked there for a really long time.
Oh my gosh.
So yes, we are going to talk to Kelsey. We're going to show the pictures. And that's all coming up on the next Haunted AF.
All right, Haunted AFers, remember to subscribe either iTunes, Spotify, whatever your favorite podcast platform is. Also, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Reddit, as well as our brand new website, hauntedaf.com.
Ooh, it's so bright and shiny over there. Got to say thanks to our board op, Ziggy Becker. And to Andrew Maliga for our theme song. Also, a shout out to On Air Media for titles and technical support.
And of course, we have to thank you for listening to Haunted AF. By the way, Julie, if I die first, I'm going to come back and haunt you.
Oh, I'll come back and haunt you too, Rebecca.